Pat, how do you reconcile the claims of universal sinfulness in the scripture that I used in my opening statement with such a massive amount of people who, from your perspective, are actually innocent?
The subject of Romans chapter 3 and 6 is that all men have sinned. It's talking about people that God is trying to save. So it's not talking about people who don't need salvation like infants. Now, as far as how many people have sinned, like your illustration about you flip a coin 6 million times, and every time but once it comes up to be tails, there must be something wrong. Let's talk about that. First of all, Jesus didn't sin. So that proves right there that it's not universal. And that takes away your whole point. The second point I would like to make is that Adam was not depraved. Eve was not depraved. And they had a lot less temptation than we have, I think. Yet they still sinned. So it ain't because we are depraved that we sin. That's not the explanation, because Adam and Eve sinned right off the bat. And they weren't depraved.
Okay, Pat.
So James 1:14-15 says we're drawn away of our own lust. That's why we sin.
Pat, when the scripture says in Psalm 143:2, no one living is righteous, again accepting Jesus Christ, is that true or is that false?
Psalm 143:2.
Do not enter into judgment with your servant.
Psalm what?
143:2.
Okay, and the question is?
If no one living is righteous, accepting Jesus Christ, again, I'm putting him categorically different because he is the incarnate God-man. If no one living is righteous, then how do you justify that actually millions of people are indeed righteous?
The same way you can justify that one is righteous. Okay, you know, what was that passage?
Okay, no, that's the answer to your question. Thank you. In Psalm 53, other passages, it speaks of the children of men or the sons of men. Does that mean humanity or only adults?
Psalm 53 what?
Psalm 53, verse 2. He looks down upon the children of men, and then Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 3, the sons of men. Does that mean just adults or people of an age of accountability, or does that mean all humanity?
I'm not going to go to Ecclesiastes yet because I didn't catch the reference. But Psalms 53, verse 2, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men.
Is that all humanity or only a part of humanity?
It doesn't include infants because it says in the very next verse, every one of them has gone back now, all together become filthy. So these are people who have become filthy. Not talking about infants who just came out of the womb. They haven't done anything filthy.
Okay, thank you.
Let me give you an illustration. I'm a child of my father, and I'm 42 years old. So you can be a child of a man without being an infant. Go ahead.
Okay. In Proverbs, the verse that we looked at about the foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, should you punish a child or discipline a child for anything other than sin? And can you give an example, please?
Yes, you should. Okay? And I might ask you, why would you correct the child if he's so totally depraved you couldn't be corrected without a miraculous intervention from God?
I'm not the one on the stand right now,
right.
You are.
So I answered the question.
No, I said, please give me an example.
Please give you an example.
A punishing of a child when it's not an issue of sin.
My little Wesley there, he's a little precious little fellow. He has Down syndrome, by the way. He has this habit of trying to flush toys down the toilet. And it's not a sin, but when we catch him at it, we spank him because those toilets get clogged up when he does that.
Okay, is he then sinning by disobeying you?
He is disobeying me, but he's still considered innocent by that verse of Jeremiah. In Isaiah 7, verse 16, talking about Jesus, it said basically he was not old enough to know to choose good from the evil. Now that describes Wesley.
So you're punishing innocence.
Am I punishing innocence? I am punishing somebody for doing something that we won't correct it. He's not completely innocent in that he has flushed toy down the toilet.
So he's disobeyed. He sinned against you. Because the Bible says children obey your parents. All right.
Now, in many cases, they do disobey. In this case, Wesley did disobey because he didn't know it was wrong. But we still give him a spank anyway to try to teach him that it's wrong. And he still hasn't learned that it's wrong yet. But hopefully he will very soon.
Okay. All right. How do you explain that children learn to lie, sneak, or steal without your bad example?
Same way Adam did.
In what way? By temptation?
God gave us free choice. Because he didn't want us to be robots in love, and he wanted it to be true love. So he gave Adam free choice. And Adam saw the temptation in James 1, 13 through 15, tells you why he sinned and why we sin, and children when they come old enough, why they sin. It starts out with their desire, usually a lawful desire, but it goes too far and they commit a sin.
Okay, so how did they do that without, in the garden they had Satan tempting them, how did they do that without your example?
They still have Satan tempting them.
Okay.
I'm talking about people who are accountable have Satan tempting them.
Okay. All right. Now, would you say at that age, when they obey Satan or do what he is tempting them to do, that it's sin?
Again, after they reach the age that Isaiah 7:16 says, before they know to choose the good or evil, whenever they reach that age, it's sin.
Okay.
But that verse says before then, it's not sin.
Do you believe that infants or children are created in the image of God?
Yes, they are.
Can you briefly describe what you understand the image of God to be?
I'm not sure about all the details, okay? But one detail would be is that they have a soul that could live forever, not the human body part, but the soul part. God has that, but animals don't.
I guess specifically, would you say that part of that image reflecting is the issue of morality, that we're moral beings?
I guess I would say yes, but only in the sense that they have the ability, as they develop, to choose and make moral decisions. But they're not like God in that it's impossible for them to lie, because all of my children and I have shared lives. They're not like that if you made that.
Okay. So they are moral beings even before the age of accountability.
They will develop, when they get to that age of what we call accountability, Isaiah 16, then they'll have the ability to make moral choices.
Okay. Do they have the ability to make moral choices before the age of accountability?
Well, it would be like asking about a young man, a boy child, and the issue of sexuality. He potentially will have that ability, but he doesn't have it right then, but he will grow into it. So in that sense, he's a male, but he cannot do everything that a full-grown male could do.
Now, under your scheme, wouldn't it make more sense to start disciplining children at the age of accountability than before, when they're innocent and you're punishing innocence?
No, we want to teach them before they reach the age of accountability, so that when they reach the age of accountability, they won't be sinning all the time. So you can just be totally out of control by that time.
So you're punishing creatures made in the image of God who in God's sight are innocent.
They're innocent in the sense they have not sinned, but I've already answered the question. But Wesley was not innocent in the sense that he had not flushed a toy down the toilet. And because I don't want him to do it again, I spank him to keep him from doing it again. Not because he sinned, but to try to teach him that flushing toys down the toilet is not a good thing. I know you agree with that. I don't know why we'd be disputing about that. You spank your children, don't you?
Yes.
I knew you did.
Is it a fair consequence that Adam sinned and we die?
Spiritually or physically?
Either.
Physically, it would be fair to say that. Because remember, the cherubim was put there to guard the way to the tree of life, and therefore, since we don't have access to the tree of life, we die physically.
Isn't that unfair because Adam did something we had no control over and we suffer for it?
There are many things in this life that are unfair. Like when a drunk driver hits another car and the children in the car die. They die because the consequences of that drunkard's sin, just like we die physically, because of the consequences of Adam's sin. It's unfair in the way the human would look at it, yes.
All right, that's all.
Thank you, Steve.